بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتل عليهم نبأ ابني آدم بالحق الله تعالى instructs relate to them the incident of the two sons of Adam عليه السلام in truth. A narrative is discussed, it's related, it's recited. But in the process of reporting a narrative, a story, an incident, you need two things. One is accurate reporting. Bilhaq. So the reporting must be done, but the reporting must be done accurately. So accurately in what respect? In respect to the wordings, must be accurate. There mustn't be any distortion of the facts. And number two, what you are reporting must be reported accurately in your intention as well. I'm saying something, but my intention is absolutely accurate, it's clean. So there's accuracy in the words, and there's accuracy in the intention. Now, the Quran Sharif speaks, it gives all the human guidelines. But it's just for us to look for it. The treasure is inside. And the treasure house, you have to look for the treasure. So there's two great treasures here. One is the accuracy in word. When you're reporting, then don't distort. And you're relating, then don't you have a different agenda. See, I can say something. And my agenda is something else. It would seem like I'm using the right words. But then when I inspect my intention, the intention is a little bit different. Now look at, they talk about terrorism, right? Terrorism. They talk about weapons of mass destruction. They talk about 9/11, right? Three things, everybody talks about it, you hear about it, right? But it was just a matter of time to understand that this thing was concocted. 9/11 is not making logical sense. It's not making scientific sense. Scientifically, it's wrong. If you look at the logistics, it's not making sense. But then, people required time to understand that this was concocted. When they understood that it was concocted, right, it's not making sense, then the reliability on the media and information was broken down. So there is a new media now, this reporting something, but we can't trust it because they can concoct, they can distort, they can have different agendas. Yeah, we don't know what's the truth because it's not making sense. So when you're not going to be reporting accurately, with the passage of time, when people do discover the reliability, the confidence in you is lost, broken down. Right. So, two things are required, that your word, choice of your word must be right, and your intention, your heart also must be clean and good. So, I'm relating an incident, and it may be that the incident that I'm relating and reporting may be true, right? But really my agenda, my intention is something else. I may say, you know, this person here, he talks ill of your father. It may be that it's true what he's talking about, right? But my intention is now to incite you against him, to create problems. So you will get spurred up. When you get spurred up, it is man here. He's talking like this about my father. What he thinks of himself. So you see, it just takes a time to understand that person. Now, where things crack down and they break down in this one of these two ways. One is incorrect information reporting, and number two is intention not being clean and pure. When the intention is pure and clean, then you don't have a problem. But the intentions are not right, or man cannot think right, you get three problems. One is intention is not right, one is the information is being distorted, and one is he can't reason correctly. Then you must have problems at the end, right? So you'll talk of weapons of mass destruction. Right? So, for one person, it is weapons of mass destruction. And for the other person, it's perfectly normal. The weapons are the same. He is using the weapon and I'm using the weapon, right? But when I'm using it, it's weapons of mass destruction. But when he is using it, and in fact, he's using not just at the level that I'm using, even a superior degree of weapons, but then that is weapons of mass destruction. Now it takes time, people understand, they see what's happening, and they understand that, no, there's double standards here. So the trust and the confidence is lost, is broken down. After a period of time, they lose the trust. It's an irony that those people whose hands are still soaked with the blood of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, they can talk about this thing here. Now, the public is so gullible at times, they don't look into the past, don't look into history or what happened, 1940s what happened, and how they destroyed, and the radioactive that is there, it still affected so many people are born maimed, and whatever, whichever way they are born. So, many people know about it, but many people don't study this thing here. When they don't study, then they look at it just from this narrow perspective, and that's the end. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَطْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. The story of the sons of Adam alayhi salam, but record it, report it, recite it in truth. Don't add your own things, and don't you have wrong intentions. Report it, report it in truth. Someone was talking about, was reciting, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبِّهُمْ وَتَبْ, right? And whichever the senior that was there present, said, but don't recite it openly. Recite it in namaz, but repeatedly reciting it. So when you're repeating it, repeating the recitation all the time, then you're inciting, you're pushing someone down. In the process, you understand also that it was the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So indirectly, what are you doing? You're reading your namaz, all right, but now you're reciting it loudly, and you have got a false mind. Your mind is wrong. It's corrupt. So you're reading it, why? To push down someone. To hurt someone. So maybe the reporting is right. But then what is the intention? Now, you're stopping me from reciting the Quran Sharif. No, nobody's stopping you. But we're stopping you from inciting. So, إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا. Quran Sharif says that both the brothers had made an offering. They presented a sacrifice. So the prelude to this, the introduction to this is both were confirmed for marriage. This one to this girl, that one to that girl. They were confirmed, both the direct descendants of Adam alayhi salam. Right? We are all the descendants of Adam alayhi salam, but indirectly. Now these are the direct descendants of Adam alayhi salam, and both are confirmed for marriage. Habil, Qabil. So this Qabil now, he sees that my brother's wife to be is more attractive than my wife. My brother's wife to be is much more attractive than my wife. I'm landed with Zuman now, right? So now he says, no, you know what? That woman, bring it to my nikah. And my wife, bring it to your nikah. Adam alayhi salam explained that this is haram. You can't get this one. The reason is not something else. No, that some other setting, inshallah, will explain what was the reason for that being haram, this being not haram. But Adam alayhi salam explained that this is haram, not permissible for you. But he was stuck on his guns, very stubborn, obstinate. No, I must have that girl. So in order to clear this whole commotion, Adam alayhi salam says what he says, that all right, you make an offering, both of you, and whoever's offering is accepted, then we'll know he's on the truth. So, as a blessing for this ummah, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, inna fadla alayka kabira, the grace of Allah Ta'ala is very great upon this ummah here. So, as a grace, an additional grace and bounty to this ummah, when you make a sacrifice, Allah says, alright, I allow you to consume, to eat of it, enjoy, share it with your family, friends, etc. So allow it to. But in the former ummah it was, that when you made a sacrifice, then a beautiful, bright, light fire would come and consume the thing. So that is a mark of acceptance. That thing was accepted, Allah took it away. Right? But if that light did not come and consume the thing, then you understood that thing is rejected. Now, you see where this thing started off from. It starts off where he is more attracted to this girl here. That is haram for him. She is more attractive, but he wants her. Now, this is a human trait in the mankind. He wants to excel, right? It's in your tabiat, it's in your temperament, and nobody can change that temperament. See, when they tell you that a mountain moved from its place, then don't believe it. Then, no, you may believe it that the mountain moved from its place. But if you say that the man's temperament changed, no, don't believe it. Temperament doesn't change, disposition doesn't change. It's possible that the mountain moves from its place, but the temperament doesn't change. Temperament remains. The wazir and the king were having a discussion. So the wazir is explaining to the king that temperaments don't change. And the king is saying, no, we can change temperaments as well. It's a king, so you can't be too stubborn with the king. You can't talk too firmly. Talk a little bit of respect and a little bit of understanding. Now, how do I need to get this point across to the king? The boss now. You can't tell the boss, hey, listen to me now. Can't tell the boss. Boss is the boss. But you have to impress upon the boss, sorry, this is not the right thing. But how do you go about explaining to him? So, the wazir arranged for one big jalsa. For convenience, let's call it a jalsa, right? Sort of seeing it a conference. Conference looks too important. So some days back, so we had some mehman at home. So the boy that does some of the errands, so his English sometimes is a little bit high, right? So I asked him to do something. He said, no, I can't go there. They deep in the conference there. So anyway, so they're having a jalsa there now. And what the wazir did in the meanwhile, he made cats in charge of the entire light system. Those years using candles, lamps and all that. So all cats, all in strategic positions at the entrance, on the stage, in the aisles, everywhere, you know. So you got all cats in the strategic positions, controlling all the lamps, the fire, the candles, whatever. The lighting is all controlled by cats. So now, the jalsa is at its peak now, you know, the highlight of the jalsa. The king, the wazir are coming, the highlight. So they're pulling in, both of them are pulling in. And what the wazir did is he had about 4 or 5 mice tucked up in his sleeves. You may see the Sudanese, you know, the sleeves. I don't see it so big. Right? So you all have mice inside, this side, that side. And as they come into the jalsa, right where the cats are in view, you know, so he'll release all those rats. Now, in a few moments, the tent and everything is on fire. Because all the cats went after the mice. And that turned into an inferno. So the king is asking, alright, what's happening? So I'll explain you later on. But what happened? So now you see what temperaments, they overrule. You can give any amount of training, but the temperament in that cat to chase the rat, you can't change, you can't delete it. It's going to see the rat, it's going to chase. So you're not going to change the temperament. So it's within our temperament that we want to excel. So when it's within our temperament, then this is a blessing. But then it's left to the individual how he uses it. A knife in a surgeon's hand is a blessing, he can save a life. But in a murderer's hand, it can be a disaster, right? So the same thing in one person's hand is a blessing, in the next person's hand is a disaster. It's left to the user how he uses it, right? So this trait, that human streak that's within us, to want to excel, that's a good streak. But then, how do you use it? How do we use it? Where do we use it? And where do we resist? One place we must resist, and some places we must use the thing. Right? The place we will use it, like the Quran says, saying, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ سَابِقُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. So He wants you to excel. Allah wants you to excel because it's within your nature to excel. But in what avenues you must excel? Excel in acquiring the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Excel, try and race with each other in acquiring Jannat, right? These are things that you must excel in. Not after the things that you are hankering. Because the things that you are hankering after is temporary. It will leave your hands, right? See how nicely Quran Sharif says, وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ زُهُورِكُمْ. See, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُنَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You come to us, and you come to us bare and alone. All the bounties that we had given you is all left behind. تَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ زُهُورِكُمْ. All the gifts that we had given you, everything is left behind. So when you're coming to us, you're coming bare and alone. You got no clothing, you got no material, you got nothing on your defense. It's just you, you and you alone, bare and alone. Everything is left behind. So, now the question is this, that you want some type of security on that side of the world. This is what this verse is saying, that you see, when you are leaving bare and alone. But what will be in your mind? Your mind will be that I need some preparation, I need some type of arrangement, some type of comfort, some type of luxury, some type of thing that will entertain me, will amuse me, will pass my time. What have I got for that? So Allah Pak says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُوا نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيْنٍ. What I have got is unperceivable. It's beyond perception. So much. So much. I've got so much that it's beyond your perception. You can't even imagine. Sometimes it's just one beautiful thing that you have in life, right? And that beautiful thing, it consumes you so much that all the problems are forgotten. And this happens in this life. That something beautiful came and all the past problems are all forgotten. So when some small little beautiful thing comes your way and that causes you to forget everything, can you imagine what Allah has got in the hereafter? And this is just a minuscule in respect to the actual things that He's got. What He's got there is just a minuscule. So what Allah is telling you, by don't get attached too much. Because this now, this thing is going to leave you. A few days and then you're gone, that thing is gone. Khalas. وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ زُهُورِكُمْ. So don't attach your mind. Use it, enjoy it, but don't let your heart be attached. Because if your heart is attached to it, when the time of separation does come, the time will be very difficult. You won't be able to separate easily. So now, use it, enjoy it, but don't let your heart be attached to it. Heart mustn't be attached. One Buzuruk, he heard that whole consignment that was coming, you know, the boat. 20 containers coming, all priceless stuff, very, very priceless stuff, massive containers, 20 of them coming across. And he just then heard that the 20 containers that were coming, right, all have sunken, everything's gone. One is costing about 20 mil, 20 containers came, everything sunk. That zamana, they didn't have insurance and all that, so you can't think about any repayment plan. Gone. So that Buzruk is doing business, but for a moment when he heard this, he just looked down like this, and in about 10 seconds said, Alhamdulillah. Anyway, about a day or something passed, and then the news was brought to him again. No, you know what we reported yesterday was incorrect. There was another ship that was sunken. It wasn't your ship. Your container is coming safe. Again, he lowered his head, he raised the head again, and he said, Alhamdulillah. One of his students or the attendants that were around said, we can't understand this story here. That when you lost it, you said, Alhamdulillah. And when the news came that you didn't lose it, then too you said, Alhamdulillah. So what is this? He says, when I heard, I got the news that this was lost and sunken, so I checked in my heart, that is my heart attached to it? And I thanked Allah Ta'ala that, Alhamdulillah, my heart is not attached. Because my heart told me that it was Allah Ta'ala's, Allah Ta'ala gave it to me. Right? And when he took it away, it was his right. When he gave it to me, it was his. When he took it away, it was still his. Right? So if he gave it to me, he's most loving, he's most compassionate, he is most merciful. He gave it to me, his mercy. When he took it away from me, then too it was his mercy, his compassion and his love. His love and his compassion hasn't changed. So his love and his compassion feels that I should not have it, so let it be. And then when I saw again that it came, so again I checked my heart, and now am I excited? Hey, my thing was saved and all that. So no, I didn't find the excitement upon. I'm happy, this is a decree of Allah Ta'ala. He has restored it for me, so I'm happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. So I said, Alhamdulillah, when I lost it, when I regained the thing, I said, Alhamdulillah. So this is that attachment. When you want to let go, you let go very easily. And when you want to hold it, you can hold it very easily. You know, it's not something like super fixed. You can't separate it. How many times the imams come and phone, Mawlana, I read the Isha namaz, afterwards I went to steep. And as I was steeping, about to steep, then I saw a super flex in my hand, you know. Now must I announce it, that my namaz is not correct, and they must repeat it. Yeah, what else? When the water hasn't reached that place there, then the namaz has to be repeated. Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. He's one khadim that was his attendant, you know. So whilst arranging his stuffs and all that, and that priceless mirror that he had, now that zamana, whatever things was priceless is priceless, priceless imported mirror that he had, they call it a Chinese mirror, right? So imported and priceless, and whilst he's arranging things, and that thing just fell and bust. So now he's shivering with fear, you know, this buzrug, and it was a priceless commodity. When it is a priceless commodity, he's going to curse me. He's going to curse me, and I had it, finished. My time is up, then I'm gone, I'm destroyed. So I was thinking, you know, I have to present it to the Sheikh that this happened, but how must I present it that he will take it in the same vein, you see? So he thought of a poetry, he said, as qaza, aina chini mishikast. So straight away he shifted it to taqdeer. When you shift it to taqdeer, it's easy, isn't it? So according to the taqdeer, this thing broke. Now, the real response is what comes straight away. Right? What comes straight away. So the immediate response of Sayyid Abu Qadir Jilani was, khub shud, asbab-e khudbini mishikast. Alhamdulillah, what a great thing. That the thing that was enhancing me, leading me to self-admiration, that thing broke. So what a great gift. Otherwise, that thing was eating up my heart. You know, hey, I got this mirror. So that was eating me up, it was consuming me. But this thing is gone now. Alhamdulillah, that thing that would have caught my attraction and put me into self-admiration, that thing has been moved away from the way. Now I can see Allah, I can see Him more clearly. So what a great thing. He did a favor to me actually. So their hearts are not, they don't have that attachment. They would love, they would like it, they would enjoy it. Not that they will not feel anything at the time of separation. It's a friend or someone or a son or someone that they loved. And with the separation they feel, it's not that they don't have feelings, not that their feelings are dead. But then they're looking at the broader picture. When they look at the broader picture, then everything is forgotten. My one niece now, so last week they had to go to America, whatever. Perhaps they'll stay a couple of months or a couple of years or something and they'll come back. So the old aunties now are trying to clear everything up, you know. So saying, you know, say maybe when you come back, you won't find us around. So must forgive us, you know, our auntie stories, you know. So now she is a little bit of a brave girl. So she says, you know, just because I'm going, everybody's dying now. Everyone must live just now. Don't die now. Just because I'm going now, so you must die. So anyway, we are talking of this. It's a human trait that we want to excel. Everybody wants to excel. But then, this can be abused and it can be used. It's left to the user how he plays his part. Uses it correctly or incorrectly. Uses it correctly or incorrectly. How he's going to use it. It's left to him. So, if he wants, he can use it correctly. The knife in the surgeon's hands is a saver of life. And in the murderer's hand, it's a destruction. How do you use it? So the same, this feeling of excelling can really take you, it can escalate you, it can take you on. But it can also be misused. How it's misused, right? Why does this person have this? Why don't I have it? Why does he have this? Why don't I have it? Why does he have this? Why don't I have it? I want that. Now the problem in this day is, for everything we find a counter reasoning. No, I like it because of this. I like this wealth because of this. So we want to counter reason. Thinking to ourselves that when you're going to give a counter reasoning, then we have got a clear track record. But we don't realize that we are giving a counter reasoning, and the counter reasoning may be false somewhere. But we're just appeasing ourselves by giving a counter reasoning. The simple thing, simple analysis, is this counter reasoning that we've got, does it work with Allah Ta'ala? It works with people. Everybody gets pacified, they get appeased and all that. But this counter reasoning that you give in your mind, does it work with Allah Ta'ala? So, one youngster is messing around, someone's wife, right? So, as he's messing around, someone asks his wife, but he's messing around. So now, probably in the midst of his friends, yeah, you know, in the times that we had, and this is the address, this is the girl's name, and how, you know, so many days I used to be around. And then one day, you know what happened? Yeah, one day I went there, and there was a knock on the door, and guess who was there? The husband was there. The way she hid me, you know. And meanwhile, he began to feel that there is someone around, you know. He's looking high and low. In the meanwhile, that girl that he used to be playing around, she's all somewhere in the crowd there, right? So she slipped a note to him that the husband is here by. The husband is just pulled in now. So now see how he makes up the story. How he made up the story. See, he's showing the drama. You know, when you're doing the guna, sometimes you become too brave, too brazen. You become too brazen and you want to talk about it, what you've done. So now, he had to cover the whole thing up. See, the today's trick is how must cover. Lawyer, how must cover. Anything what you're doing must cover it up so nobody can implicate you. No implications. So how easily he got out. He says, easy. Then my eyes just open out. So the husband that came, oh, it was a dream. Nothing else was a dream. Eyes opened. So, but how intelligently, how he just rubbed the thing out. My eyes just opened out. If the husband going to say, what is he going to say? Alright, he's dreaming about my wife. What else? Nothing else. He didn't do anything. My eyes just opened then. So this is where we're going off today. Is whatever wrong we are doing, we're going to give it a cover-up story and justify the wrong. So Allah Pak doesn't like this. The cover-up story, give a cover-up story, a cover-up story. And then the way we suppress the truth, the way we suppress the truth, we don't even realize this what we are doing. We're so deep into it. The straight thing is, I messed it up, Allah Pak, forgive me. If this, you've got two people working for you, right, and two people came with the delay, right? So the one staff tells you, bas, concealer, make me maaf, you know. You're so good to me, you're so kind, considerate, but I mess it up always, I don't consider, and I don't respect you, I don't respect your favors and all that. Coming with a delay, I should have thought about it, I'll get caught in traffic, you know. I should have come earlier with the bus, but I just went a little later, and therefore I came late, and please, you know, but you know, I really respect you, and I stumbled very badly, make me maaf for it. So this is one staff's approach. And the other staff's approach is, boss, if I'm coming late, so what's wrong? But you come with a delay also. You know, if you say you got wife and children, I also got wife and children. You say you got takaza, I got takaza also, so what? If I came with a delay. He's saying what he's saying is wrong or right? It's right. But is it acceptable? Why? What he's saying, is it right or wrong? What he's saying is right. But why is it not acceptable? So Allah Boy doesn't like this approach. This brazen attitude, this thoughtless, inconsiderate attitude with Allah Ta'ala, what hasn't He done for you? And then you have this type of attitude, try and cover up, make up stories, justify, make up a story. So how will Allah Ta'ala accept this? How do you expect Allah Ta'ala to accept this? So I was just explaining one concept right now. Whatever happens now, there was a precedent for it in India, Pakistan, in these old countries. There was a precedent, right? So there was a time when in these eastern countries where people were involved in usury, right? And then they gave a cover-up story. What cover-up story they gave? قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. Trade and commerce is like interest. Interest and usury and trade and commerce is the same thing. You know, commodity for commodity. One product for another product. Money also, one product for another product. I'm giving you 20 rands, taking 30 rands. I'm selling you this, I bought it for 20 rands, and I'm taking 30 rands from you. So the same thing, what's wrong? So one was old, right, the old. So they said, what's wrong? There's no difference. They had to have a cover-up story to show that this is trade and commerce. It's nothing to do with robbing and cheating. Because it's a happy giver and a happy taker. So when I've given it happily, I've taken it happily, so what's wrong with that? So whatever vice and wrong takes place today, there must be a precedent in the past. So that happened in the past. Now, today, they've distorted the same thing. When they distorted the same thing, so I say, you know, I lent you, say, 1,000 rands. Or you're supposed to be paying me on this date. Because your rental, and you were supposed to pay me 1,000 rands, on the 31st, right? So you came with a delay. When you came with a delay, so I charge you a 200 rands more. Why? As a penalty. So now, you say, no, but so-and-so said penalty clause is permissible, therefore I'm taking a penalty. Now in the workings, is there any difference? Is there a difference in the working? Or it is just a different word that you have used? You just change words around. When you change words around, you said, no, it's a penalty, and so-and-so said that a penalty clause is permissible. So therefore, I am taking a penalty from you. So what's wrong with that? So no, but this is... When you explain it to him, then he says, no, but you know, I'm not going to use that money, that 200 rand that I took from you, you know, for that penalty, for the delay, I took 200 rands from you, that I'm going to give it out in charity. I'm going to give it out in charity. So I'm not going to use it, I'm not going to take any benefit out of it, but it'll make you more conscious, you know, but you must be prompt in your paying. So now I say, alright, I turn the whole thing around. So what he's saying, that if he does this with a good intention, right, then he's permissible. Why it will straighten this person here? Right. So I say the principle is, the end just doesn't justify the working. The working is corrupt, the end is corrupt. Now how you worked it, the end justifies the working. So alright, let's change the whole situation, the whole format, let's change it. Right. And I said, you know what, these people here, in this town, whichever town, right, in this town, they're very wealthy, you know. And the people in that other town, they're having some difficult times, they're going through constraints. Difficult times. Here, people are going, they're very prosperous here. So, yeah, they're prosperous and they're overcharging. You know, what is supposed to be, they're supposed to be taking a 500 rand profit, they're making 5,000 rand profit. So they're overcharging. So let me go and rob them for 5 million rand. And you see the town there that is suffering there, I will take this 5 million rand, and have those poor people that are suffering there, they don't have bread, they don't have milk, they don't have the basics, they don't have. So I will rob them and go and help those people on that end, right? So the end, is it bad or good? He doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a shelter, he doesn't have bread, he doesn't have basic medication, doesn't have. So my intentions, can you show me a flaw in the intention? No flaw in the intention. But I ask you, because of my lofty intention, because of the end, that end, does it justify the working? It doesn't justify. Nobody appreciates that. See? So you're just changing the words around. You can't make a thing halal. Now this is the trick of the day, to just change things around, redefine, right? When you redefine and change things around, then that which was illegal, you are considering it, counting it to be permissible and halal. So that is why Allah is saying, نَبَأَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. When you're relating, reporting, report correctly. Don't you cover, don't put the wool over the person's face that he can't see. A normal person says, no, it's a penalty, it'll straighten this person up. So here also I can say, you know what, they're overcharging, it'll straighten you people up that you don't overcharge. We just take the basic. So the intentions are right, the end is right. So why isn't it not right for me to rob these people here, cheat them, and go and help those people on that end? Why? So these two sons now, Adam and Islam, two sons, قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. They make an offering. So the whole idea of deen is by be straight with Allah, be honest, be clean. Right? Don't have any ambiguous ways with Allah Ta'ala. It's crooked ways, ambiguous ways, don't have that. Have it clean. No ambiguity, it's clean, it's thorough, it's honest. Right? As though you're seeing Allah Ta'ala. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. This is what it means, as though you're seeing Him. When you're doing a transaction, as though you're seeing Allah Ta'ala, and then you're transacting. And I'm talking to you, as though I'm seeing Allah Ta'ala, then I'm talking to you. Right? So when I'm talking to you, I'm thinking for your good as well. I'm not just thinking of my good, I'm thinking for your good as well. So this is now a true mu'min, that I think for you as well. I think for myself, but I think for you as well. This can only happen if I've got Allah Ta'ala before me. But I don't have Allah Ta'ala before me, then I'll do a lot of things. I'll think it's my money, my business, I can do what I want. Who are you to tell me? So you know, that attitude comes in. So you've shifted the whole goalpost. You didn't understand that Allah Pak says, everything, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ. Everything belongs to me. I'm the owner. And you might just listen to me. I'm the owner. When I'm the owner, then just listen to me. Go along as I command you. You don't do your own thing. You know, when we see this whole life, right? That in the life, what we want Allah Ta'ala. When we're meeting Allah Ta'ala, we want Him to embrace us, right? With love and with respect. That's what we want. That when we have to meet Him, He must embrace us with love and with respect. That's what we want. Anything else you want? If you got that, you got everything. That's what you want. But for every problem, every crisis, every problem, Allah Ta'ala has made out a solution. There isn't a crisis for which there isn't a solution. So the same, if you want Allah Ta'ala to embrace you with love and with respect and with ease, then there is a solution to it. Now look at this again, come back to the story, right? Adam alayhi salam and his two sons. So when he saw this, that my brothers offering is accepted. So the jealousy had the better over him. Why must he excel? You know, talking of excelling. Why must he excel? Why can't I excel? Why must he go forward? He didn't realize that there was a different criteria in the sight of Allah Ta'ala for acceptance. He didn't realize that. He felt, no, I can make that thing work. Acceptance, I can make it work. So that was his mind. His mind was taking him on a different line. That I can make things work. Like in this world, now, you say, might is right. That's how we read life. Might is right. I got the might, I got the power, I got the money, I can make things right. That's how we think, right? But is it the same criteria that moves and that works on the other side? This side, this is the criteria that works. Might is right. I got the might, I can talk. I don't have the might, I must keep quiet, right? But the same criteria, does it work on the end, on that end? Unfortunately, some people thought that this is the criteria that works there also. Because they said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. So for you to be accepted there, for you to be embraced there, for you to be loved there, you need to belong to this nationality, this race. You belong to this race, you got the embrace, you got the respect, you got the welcome, everything, congratulations, you got everything. You might just belong to this. So this is how they analyzed life. When they read life, how does it work? No, we got the nationality, we got the race, we coming from the right progeny, so we got it, everything's ours. That's how they read life. You look at Adam alayhi salam's son that was murdering, How he thought, how he felt, he said, no. La'aqtulannak, I got the might. He said, I got the respect because of the lineage. And what he said, la'aqtulannak, I got the might. And of course I got the might, therefore I'm right. So you see, there's two things to talk. Sometimes is that position and influence, and sometimes it is that might. Sometimes it's your influence, your status, your social status and standing, that you think about, this is how people hold me, and this is the respect that I've got, this is the glory that I've got. And sometimes you think the thing that works is the might. I got the might, so I'm right. So because things are working out here, it will work out there as well. That's how we read things. Whereas, by Allah Ta'ala, this is not the criteria. Allah Pak shows it that this is not right. How he shows it? هَلْ أُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا Allah Pak says, must I show you those who are absolute failures? Easy translation. Absolute, the worst type of failure. You know, alright, he says, this person failed in his metric, right? He just came down by 2%. He failed. Or it wasn't a very bad thing. He can have write a supplementary exam. Maybe they'll push him through, right? Maybe he makes an appeal, they'll put him through. But this person is an absolute, outright failure. He got 0%. He got absolute zero. He doesn't know what to write. He doesn't know what is 2 plus 2. Will they give him a chance to write the supplementary? But he's wasting your time. He's an absolute failure. So Allah is saying, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا The absolute failure. I show you who's the absolute failure. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا All the efforts have gone in vain, and yet, when they are working and they are striving and working and all that, what they feel, we are going to score, and we're going to score big way. How they think to themselves? We're going to make a big goal for ourselves. So all the efforts, whatever efforts they had, everything went in vain. Yet within their minds, what they feel, we did this and we did that and we did that. Therefore, we have got our place secure. That's how they felt. So Allah Pak says, that's the worst failure. Why his efforts went wrong? He didn't understand what was his criteria. So he felt that the criteria was nationality. He felt that the criteria was power and might. So that's why Mullah Jami Rahmatullah says, Bandai ishq shavi. Nasab ra tark mikun. Ke dari rahe ma fala ibn fala neist. When you became the servant of love, you're living for what? For the love of Allah Ta'ala, right? Living for love. You want love. Otherwise, you should say, me muhabbat ka piyasa. I want love. Special love, right? You see an old person, right, now his age now, 75, 80, so he had his innings now. But what he wants love. Love his children, his grandchildren, people around him must love him and respect, that's what he wants, right? After that, you got nothing, everything's not working, right, everything's fading down. But what you really appreciate is love, right? So, that realization comes to you after, when you advance, when you're very, very mature. One is half mature, one is full mature, one is you're very mature. Then you say, hey, this is just a phase, you know. This food and this woman and that car, you know, it's just a phase. Now I am fully mature. This is just a phase. What I really want is that pure love, absolutely love. So Mullah, these awliya-i-kiram, the maturity that you get at the age of 80, they get it in the teens, they get it. 25, 30, they get the same maturity. Well, we'll have to do all these things because it's just a passing phase. It's the rights of people will do it. But really our love is stuck somewhere else. We are stuck somewhere else. So he says, Banda ishavi, become the servant of love. Tarka nasab mikun. And forget about all this lineage and all that. Because in this path of proximity, Fala ibn Falas, Fala nist, this, I belong to this lineage, I got this influence. It doesn't count, doesn't talk, it doesn't have any position. It's got absolute no significance. There's one poet in India, I think they call him Hasrat Mohani. So his poetry is very good. I don't know what was his background, but the wordings that he used in the poetry was very good. He says, yeah, قوت اور طاقت یہ اہل سیاست جانتا ہے، باقی ہم ہمارا کام ہے محبت کا بڑھانا. وی ٹاک آف مائٹ اینڈ آل دیٹ، دین دس از پاور اسٹرگل ایٹ دا پیپل آف پالیٹکس اینڈ آل، دے آر نو دل فائٹ اینڈ واٹ ایور دل ڈو اینڈ دل کم ٹو پاور اینڈ دل کم ٹو دیٹ پوزیشن رائٹ، ہو پولیٹیشنز ویل پیپل فائٹ 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 اینڈ دل کم ہائی. سو دیٹ از پیپل آف ویلتھ، پیپل آف پاور، دی وانٹ دیٹ ریکگنیشن، سو دل فائٹ فور اٹ انٹل دے ریچ دیٹ رائٹ. باقی ہمارا کام ہے محبت بڑھانا. What is our work? This, to promote the cause of love and submission. Love and submission. How beautiful is it? What is our work? What is my mission? My mission is love with submission. Obviously to Allah, to the real place, love with submission. Can you buy this? Love and submission. You loved, you like, you don't have much, but you loved. So Allah Pak says, I'll give it to you. But you come mine, I'll make this available to you. No matter what phase of your life, where you are, but you are loved and you are respected. Because you gave me your heart. You gave me your submission, so I will give you my love. And for no reason, no apparent material reason, people will just begin to love you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Allah Pak says that. That when you are listening to me, you are loyal to me. All right, you make mistakes here and here. Who doesn't make mistakes? Everybody makes mistakes. But you are loyal to me. You got my loyalty at heart. Then I will create love in the hearts of people for you. People will begin to like you for no apparent reason, but they like you. They have got muhabbat for you, they've got a respect for you. Like we look in this world, sometimes it's your mother, right? But now, because of her age, she's not so capable and all that. But don't you have a love for her? Deep-rooted love. Eh? Because she gave you that love. And a mother normally, she doesn't want any material, don't want any return. But then what is it in you that you want to return that love? And you think, you know, you did so much, took her for Umrah, whatever. But I didn't do enough for my mother. You bought her this, you gave her gifts and all that. But within your heart, you still feel that I didn't do enough for her. So it is because of her sincerity, the sincere love that she's shown you, and you feel that you can't reciprocate. Therefore, it makes you feel that I didn't do enough. See that? So Allah Pak says also, when you're doing for me, then I will give you, and I will give you, and people will begin to love you for no apparent reason. So we're coming back to the story. So this person says, no, I got the might, so I'm right. Now look at how his brother responds. Brother says, لَإِن بَسَتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِيَقْتُلَنِي. See, when you're promoting the cause of love, then your whole outlook is different. When you're promoting the cause of politics or wealth, etc., power and wealth, then your outlook is different. I must kill, I must smash down, do anything, but I must get that recognition. Come. False information, quoting, misquoting, misconstruing, but I must get that power, that struggle, that recognition I must get. People must recognize me. Right? I must get that wealth. So you do everything to come to that position. But when you have enlisted yourself, you have enlisted yourself into the kingdom of love, then now your outlook is totally different. Why you enlisted yourself in the kingdom of love? Now it's a different thing. You're a different person now. Now you're not an ordinary person. Now you're something else. That's why Mawla Rum Samaranta says that people are all immature. What? People are immature. All immature. So Baligo, they can be Dari here, why? Vishnu Singh, Mawla Rumi Singh. Mawla Rumi is a master of illustration, poetry. I was looking at a book yesterday, you know. So, in the Toronto University, in the eastern, you know, where they got eastern section, the most sought out book was Mawla Rumi's Kitab. So there must be something, all these educated people are looking for his books. So what he says there, he says that people are all immature. But who is the mature person? Who is the person that is mature? The person that is mature is the person that has come out from his lust and sensual pleasure. See, this dream, I must get this position, this comfort, this recognition. You have come out of the dream and you went into that path of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now you have come out from immaturity, otherwise you're still immature. Like how you see a child with that plastic scooter, say, hey, kya kar raha hai? Imagine that you are playing a plastic scooter. What do people say? I will run home, you know. and show you a lot of respect. I see all E's, all matchbox toys, from here, from here, from Holland. The man is, he's age about 65 at that time. Some years. Hey, old Chacha, what do you do with these things here? Expensive stuff, you know, expensive, like, real expensive stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, now this Chacha now, hey, 65, 70 years of age. The time Umarji was around, he took us to that place, alright, we went out of respect for my Umarji Rahmatullah Ali. But I'm thinking now, hey, what is this man doing with all these things here? Such a big person and these toys. Alright, a cricket match, if a child played, alright, say, alright, don't mind. A small child. But now a grown-up man, 35 years, 25 years, and still playing cricket. Hey, kya faida? What's the faida? So, no, you know, you make so much of money in that. Alright. But I ask you, look at it from a different perspective. Are you doing something that is constructive for the nation? Football, cricket, all that, at that age, right? Is there anything you're doing constructive? I remember around 1977 somewhere, there was a commentary going on, cricket, you know. Someone was relating that commentary to me. It was a match that's going on between India, Pakistan and something. And the crowd was jam-packed, you know. People were paying tickets in the black for 100,000 and all that. So from the Calcutta stadium, someone is reading that, the commentator is giving the news. He's saying, 77, he's saying, that how can a nation ever prosper that in prime time, they left their jobs, they're paying tickets for 100,000 to come and see this thing here. They're not going to get anything out of it. How can the nation ever prosper? But isn't it a fact? So I ask you, that one that is excelling in soccer, cricket, or is he being constructive for the nation? Anything for the nation? Nothing for the nation. He looks nice, strong, but for what? Kya faida? On the lighter side, that Imran Khan became the prime minister, right? So when Pakistan, you know, Imran Khan, in his day he had a white wife as well, right? And his Urdu people, when they talk of a white woman, Pakistan, India, they call her Miss. What? They call her Miss. Now he's a cricketer and he got a Miss, right? So this one poet, Urdu poet, he's saying, Dunya ka dastoor hai, Dunya ka dastoor hai, ke catch ko miss karte hai, yeah? Catch ko miss karte hai. Arey Imran, tera kya ho gaya? Tu ne miss ko catch kar liya. Ye dunya ka dastoor hai, ke catch ko miss karte hai. Imran, arey Imran, tera kya ho gaya? Tu ne miss ko catch kar liya. So we're coming back now. This laqtulannak. So this person is, this brother is threatening. What is threatening him? That I'll kill you. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ I'll slay you. See, he feels that might is right. So when might is right, what I say must go. If you don't listen to me, then I'll push you away. So see that how that mind works. Might is right. You forget the hereafter for a moment, everything will work out. Like a dream. You feel that the hereafter is like a dream. Whereas there, Allah Pak says, لَقَدْ جِبْتُمُونَ فُرَادَ You're coming there bare and alone in front of me. Face to face, nothing is working. So the brother in response, Habil, that is the more intelligent, more understanding, he says, لَإِن بَسَتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ He says, if you stretch your hands to kill me, I'm not going to defend myself. You want to kill me, I'm not going to defend myself at all. Right? Why did he say that? That if you're going to try to kill me, I'm not going to defend myself. See, I'm talking about the promoting of love, right? Now, what love, where love takes a person? The love takes a person to a different level altogether. Mahabbat takes you to a different level altogether. That is what we are short of. We got everything else. Got the good homes, good granite tops, everything else we got good. But what we short of is Mahabbat. We don't have that. So there's no fire in you. You're doing it, but just the motion. Namaz, just the motion. You have the fire of namaz. That fire must come up. That must come up. Then you'll tear, you'll cry, you don't want to do it. Just waiting for the night, when the night will come again. Labak, that thing is bust now, it's gone. Just wait for another 24 hours. Labak, I need your special attention. You know, you're bonding with me, and as though I got your embrace, Allah Ta'ala. And now that thing is gone. I was waiting for another 24 hours, Allah, to get that moment again. So that is now, banda ishq shawi. You become the servant of love. So now see that the love, how it makes you think, it takes you to a different plane, different understanding altogether. He says, I'm not going to defend myself. But why? Why did he say that I'm not going to defend myself? Because when you're in the defense, right, then many a times you overstep the mark. He swore your father, right? You would swear his seventh generation. Doesn't it happen? You would swear his mother and his father and his brother and his grandfather. Everybody would swear, right? You would take them. Right? So, when you're defending yourself, you are not sure that you will maintain the limit or you will exceed the limit. So, if I'm going to exceed the limit, now I was in the path of love. Now I'm in the path of war. Just now I was in the path of love. And then I'll be a victim just now. I'll be victimized just now. So I don't want to take the path where I'll be victimized. I have to, you know, play my cards very well, very safe. I don't want to risk myself. Secondly, the son that is saying that I'm not going to defend myself, he's thinking to himself, perhaps, you know. Now it's Adam al-Islam. The world is just starting off. The world is just being initiated, right? When it's just being initiated, and a murder has not been preceded. There's no case of a preceded murder. There's no murder at all. But I'm going to initiate this, right? There's no one that preceded this, and I'm going to initiate it. What's going to happen? Then, for all the people that has to come right to the day of Qiyamah, if anybody is perpetrating the same crime, then he will bear the brunt of his crime. But that crime of his will be loaded onto me as well. What a double problem. My own problem and all those people that have committed the same crime, I am loaded with their problem as well. So why must I go guilty of this? I don't need that in my life. I am going on the path of love. I just want to secure that.